worship the risen Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, Jesus is alive. He has risen from the dead. And we're going to look at a kind of a topical study today, coming forth with evidence that he is alive. We'll start by reading Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. So we have the whole story before we start dividing in different ways, different places. Mark chapter 16, 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Well, last week, several of the guys from our church drove up to Medina, and we rode in some go-karts, and it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. But before we got into the cars, the rules were explained to us. And there were a lot of them. No crashing the cars on purpose, like into each other. No crashing the cars into the walls. And you know, when they fly those flags, you got to listen. You know, no disregarding what the referee tells you when you're riding the car. And guess what? No jumping out of the car and running around the track. You know, all these things are dangerous for you. And any breakage of the rules meant that the person got booted from the race. His ticket was terminated. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is absolutely vital to the Christian faith. Without knowing and believing in the resurrection, a person can't get to heaven. Paul writes, "If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, our preaching is useless. Our faith is useless. We are false witnesses. We are still in our sins. We have no Savior, no hope. We get booted from the race." Has God left evidence for us that shows us beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus rose from the dead? Is it there? Well, let's look at three pieces of evidence today that prove that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that he is alive. The first piece of evidence that we're going to look at is the message from the angel. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verses 5 through 7. Matthew 28, verses 5 through 7, the message from the angel. It says, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. First piece of evidence that I'm going to talk about today is the message from the angel. And in two of the Gospels it says angels, but it was probably the one, there was probably two, and one was the main spokesman. So, the message from the angel. This happened early in the morning on the first day of the week. You know, these women went to the tomb expecting to anoint the dead body of Jesus with spices. And they weren't expecting to find an empty tomb. Mark tells us that they were worried about how they were going to get that big rock out from in front of the tomb. Instead, they met face to face with messengers from the very presence of God. And the way this angel is described, it's in absolute holiness. He came right from the presence of God to come down and be at the tomb and share this good news. Even though these women didn't say a word, the angel speaks to them. Let's look at what the angel said. First of all, he says, "Do not be afraid." Literally, "Don't you be afraid." These are words of comfort and assurance. And it was like, "Don't you be like those guards." What were the guards doing during that time? They were out of their minds with fear. They were like dead men. You know, it says there was a big earthquake that happened during this time. And it actually, in the original, it says these men were quaking with fear. They were quaking just like an earthquake. Can you imagine? And finally, they lost consciousness because they were so deadly afraid. And they had a reason to fear, didn't they? Because they were enemies of Jesus. And Jesus' army had come. Part of the army had come. But they didn't have any reason to fear. These women didn't have any reason to fear, did they? Because the angel says they were looking for Jesus. They were the loyal friends of Jesus. And they remain loyal even though the world crucified him. That's verse 5. The second thing the angel said, we find in verse 6. The angel says, "He is not here. He is risen."
He is risen indeed.
Just as he said. The Greek tense of the verb risen here is in aorist passive. So the idea is that he has been raised. You know, all three members of the Trinity were involved in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Father, the Holy Spirit, the Son were all a part of Jesus rising from the dead. And you know, he could have said to these ladies, "Ladies, where's your faith? You know, how many times has Jesus told you that he's going to rise from the dead?" So he could have said, and Jesus said, and he said, and he said, that he's going to rise from the dead. And we'll see that in Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. Where we see Jesus teaching his disciples about this. Matthew 16:21 says, "From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life." They didn't get it. It was like they didn't want to hear. They didn't want to understand that. But then he tells them again in chapter 17, verse 23, where he says, "They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. And then in chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, he says it again. We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and they will condemn him to death and will turn him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. That's what the angel said to them. He said it in grace, didn't he? He's just like he said. He's going to rise from the dead. And thirdly, he said, come and see and go and tell. Four commands. Four commands. And you find that in, let's see, verse 8, 7 and 8. So be convinced, ladies. Come on in. Take your time. Study this. See for yourselves. And then go quickly. Tell others. Don't keep this news to yourselves. Did you ever think about why these women were the first ones to see or hear about Jesus rising from the dead? Why they had the privilege of the angel speaking to them? I mean, how many times in life do you really have the privilege of having an angel from God come and speak to you? Hardly ever. I mean, very few people in history have ever had this. But why? Why? Well, there's a lot of speculation about that. But my take on it is that these ladies got out of bed. They were there. They were present. And you know, if his disciples had gotten up and had gone, then they would have seen it too. The closer a believer stays to God's work, the more he's going to witness and experience God's power. These ladies got to see God's power displayed in the empty tomb. And it had it all explained to them through an angel that came directly from God's throne room to announce this good news. What a privilege. What a privilege it is to serve our Lord, to be with him, to be in his word, to pray with him, to pray to him, be with God's people and fellowship with them and experience God's power. That's the first piece of evidence that I found. It's the message from the angel or the angels, whichever way you want to look at that. The message from the angel. The second piece of evidence I found, a very important one, is the empty tomb. Look at John chapter 20, verses 3 through 9 with me. John is the fourth gospel. John chapter 20, verses 3 through 9. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Well, after the ladies returned from the tomb, Peter and John went to see. They ran to see what happened. And it was kind of uncommon, very uncommon for a Jewish guy to run. It had to be a pretty serious thing for them to run. They weren't like marathon runners, not like the people from Nigeria. A lot of guys from Nigeria are really good runners, but apparently Jews are not, at least in the first century. Well, this whole story is a story about how John became convinced of the resurrection. And you see in these verses three uses of the word see, the way it's translated, three different Greek words that are translated for us in English as see. First of all, we see what John did when he arrived at the tomb first, according to verse 5. John bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. So he arrived first and he glanced or looked quickly into the tomb. And the Greek word that there is blepi. It's like, just blink your eyes with me just a second. And that's kind of the quick look that he took at the tomb, outside the tomb. Just blinked and glanced. Whoa, there's something going on here. But he didn't know what it was. Then the second time a word is translated see, we see in verse 6 what Simon Peter did. And Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. And the word there in Greek is stereo, and it means he examined them. Peter examined everything that was in that tomb carefully. He tested them. He rolled them over and over and looked at them. He looked them over. It was totally different. And he found that whatever happened to Jesus, the people weren't in a hurry because everything was folded up. If somebody came and stole the body, you know, there would be stuff laying all over. You know, if you're breaking into somebody's house or somebody's tomb, you're not going to waste a lot of time. You're just going to get what you want and you're going to get out of there. But everything was in order, in place. So Peter looked over carefully what was in that tomb. And then the third time a Greek word is translated as see in the English text, we find that in verse 8. Verse 8. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. In other words, he perceived, or he finally understood. You know, the word is eidon in Greek. And it's kind of like, you know, in those comic shows sometimes we watch, the light came on. The light came on, finally. He understood. You know, during the last month, I helped two of my sons build things out of wood. And I'm not ashamed to say that both of them are better than I am at being wood butcherers. I mean, they're just better. They've got better tools. They know what they're doing. And I just kind of, I mean, I'm helping, but I'm really just kind of there, if you know what I mean. And but they always have in their minds where they're going, what they're going to do. And I'm just kind of there along for the ride. Hold the board, say, watch your fingers, plug in the saw, unplug the saw. But in both cases, not until we were totally almost done with each of these projects, and we built shelves in our basement, we built a book drop-off box for a library with the second son. And almost, you know, until they were totally done, I didn't understand where they were going, how they were going to fit this board with that board. But then when they finally got almost to the end, it occurred to me what it was going to look like, how it was going to function, how it all came together in one place. It was the same with John. It's kind of an amazing thing. The Old Testament scriptures that he had memorized since a little boy suddenly made sense in a new way. He had spent 3 years with Jesus and he had seen all the miracles. He had heard all the parables. He had heard Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount and other sermons. And he never really totally understood it. But now suddenly everything rushes in and it came together. The empty tomb showed him that Jesus is alive. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The third piece of evidence is the appearance of our risen Lord. In chapter 20, verses 19 and 20, we'll read about that. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fears of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. His disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. There were smiles on their faces. They were happy. They were filled with joy. You know, this passage is the icing on the cake, isn't it? The disciples also were not expecting Jesus to come on a visit that evening. What were they expecting? The door was locked. What were they expecting? They were expecting the Jewish authorities to come after them. And another thing, they were like the ladies that we read about in the beginning today. They were also terrified when Jesus came into their presence. The ladies were terrified when they were in the presence of the angels. Disciples are terrified initially when Jesus comes back because they were there. They saw him die on the cross. They saw him being placed in the tomb. They knew that he was dead. And he says to them words of comfort, "Peace be with you." I think if he was speaking Hebrew or Aramaic, he said, "Shalom." It's what the Jews like to say to each other when they're really glad to see somebody. Shalom. Good. It means goodbye or hello. In Czech, they would say it, pokoj vám. Whether they're saying hello or they're saying goodbye. In Chinese, it would say, ni hao ma, ni hao ma. Every language seems to have a way of expressing that joy of greeting someone that you love, you care about, and you want to comfort that person with your presence. And he not only just talks to them, but he shows them his hands. Mine are covered with grease from yesterday's work, but also his side. His side. You know, he invited them to look. Look, see, it's real, it's me. And they were overjoyed that when they realized that Jesus was alive. And so should we be. He is alive. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You know, a judge recently wrote that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is absolutely the best attested fact in ancient history. If we brought forward the evidence for the resurrection into court, Jesus Christ would be found guilty of having risen from the dead. Jesus appeared to all of his disciples, all of his inner disciples, and many other people after his resurrection. Did you hear Jacob Reinhardt as he read that for us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15? That's what's written there. Over 500 of the brothers saw him at once. What verification, what evidence we have that Jesus is risen. Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. And we've proven that as we studied the message from the angel. We've proven that when we saw the empty tomb again. And we've proven that when we've met again with the risen Lord. It's more than enough for me to know that Jesus rose from the dead. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead? And if you do, does it make a difference in your life? Does it make a difference that Jesus is alive in your life? Don't get booted from the race. Don't have your ticket terminated. Believe and trust the scriptures about our risen Lord. That's what John had to come to grips with. Yeah, he was around all these disciples for 3 years. And they all thought, hey, this guy is one of us. But the whole time, he had doubts. But when he saw that empty tomb, he saw and he believed. That's what we should do today. See what's in the scriptures and receive Jesus. Believe. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this passage that teaches us again about the risen Lord, about Jesus and who he is and what he's done for us. Lord, we know that you're coming back soon for us, and we're looking forward to that. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.